Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. Martin Luther King is turning over in his grave. I know he cannot believe what is happening in our community. I am very, very, very disappointed. Not only in Benton Harbor, but also all around the country. This madness has to stop. We have enough problems dealing with those white devils. We have to deal with our very own black devils. My wife almost got on jury duty. I could not see them rejecting her. But they love an all-white jury. Reason unknown. White folks always think black people is guilty, whether they did it or not. I am a perfect example of that. When I went to trial, there was absolutely no evidence that could have convicted me or could have said that I even was in a position to do it. But the all-white jury found me guilty. I'm not the type of guy that gives up. I believe in fighting everything. Them devils over there didn't realize what they was up against. But they had been battling me before. I have been battling them for years and years and years and tearing them up. Them evil, wicked people, tearing them up. But they know anytime that Reverend Pinkney is about to do anything, there will be a fight. I would think that Judge Bruce would have at least given her an opportunity to get in the box. But he know. He know who's honest and who's not honest. Most of the people that they had selected was all dishonest. It's unfortunate that it's like this. Martin Luther King is just turning and tossing right in his grave. He cannot believe what is happening today. We're talking about over 50 years later, we're still going through the same identical thing. We went out of our way to select this young man by the name of Marcus Hammond. Matter of fact, he was handpicked by Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he was at my house when he asked that young man, when he told that young man, run for mayor. And the young man said, I will. And then he asked him, will you take care of the people? Three times. And three times he was lying through his teeth. This guy is a real sleazeball. I would have never anticipated that this guy would have done anything of this nature. A straight up sellout, bootlicker, whatever you want to call him. He's all that and a bag of chips. If you was not going to take care of the people, you should have said it. If your leader tells you and asks you and you lie straight to his face, he lied to this man's face. He lied to Louis Farrakhan, his leader, his spiritual leader. He lied to his face. And he walking around here like he all that. He's sickening to me. It's an embarrassment. I wonder how his children feel. Probably feel like them Republicans trying to deny trying to stand behind Trump with a liberty. That's a liberty Trump there. Amazing. Amazing. What is this world coming to? I believe mind control. I believe that people are being controlled. Microwave electronics, they got this 5G coming out. And most people don't understand what is going on. Remember what happened in Cuba. When people from the United States were attacked electronically, people was attacked, but they were attacked by this governor. This government right here attacked their very own people in Cuba. It wasn't the Cubans. It wasn't the Cubans who attacked the Americans who were working in Cuba. It was this government right here, this slimeball government that we under. And we got the nerve to be paying these folks' salaries. The same thing happened in China. This stuff is real. This is not one imagination. This stuff is real. And what I'm telling you is a fact. But nobody wants to go out and investigate what is really going on. Everybody is intimidated by this government. Everybody. They are intimidated by this government. What they're doing to our people is wrong. And if you allow it to happen, you're just as guilty as this government. It's time that we took a stand and say no more. I use the term target individuals, but I think they have another term for it. But that's the term I knew. That's the term I know. Until I learn better, I'm going to continue to use it. But I stand to fight for anyone who say that the government of these United States of America is targeting them electronically. They have other ways of doing it too. Game stalking. I know that. Oh, our government would never do that. Why would they want to do that? It's all about control. That's what it's about. This is what you need to know. It's all about control. I would say this mayor we got is under mind control electronically. I would say that they got him through the microwave. And that 5G got him controlled because it's not normal what he does. It's not normal that he would defy Louis Farrakhan, the real minister. I don't see that. I don't see it. I think it's something other than what is happening before. Mind control is real. You people out there, hey, I'm open to chat. The chat room is open. If you want to holler at me, holler at me. Tell me that Reverend Pinckney, that you're wrong. You're not right. Tell me. Let me know how you feel about this. You know, I believe that it's happening. Whether you believe it or not is on you. But it's happening. And what we want to do, we want to make sure that people understand how important this is. I want to bring in my first guest, Ms. Cassandra Lewis from beautiful Baltimore, and let her tell her story. Every single week, we're going to have someone telling a story. And you will be able to hear the story. Whether you believe it or not is on you. I'm not asking you to believe it. But I'm telling you it's real. Whether you like it or not. This stuff is real. And those of you out there who want to argue or debate with me about it, I don't have a problem with it. I do not have a problem with it. Tell me more about it. I do not have a problem with it. You can call me anytime at 269-925-0001. Cassandra Lewis, are you there? Talk to me.
Hi, Reverend Pinkney. This is Cassandra. Can you hear me okay? I'm talking on my speakerphone.
Well. You're doing good. Yes.
Yes, sir. And hi, listeners. Well, I just wanted to, I live in Baltimore City. This is the most crime-ridden city in the country. And so I have had some stuff done to me, an innocent woman. In any event, these events started for me in a law firm. I've had really strange things happen to me really all of my life, and I do believe that these events stem from my mother having been diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic. However, from the things that people who experience V2K, which I do not, but the things that I hear people who have V2K talk about, they mirror exactly the things that I witnessed as a child that my mother was doing. And so, therefore, because of that, I do believe that this technology has been going on for 50, 60 years. It's been going on for a long time. And then I also believe that those individuals who may have been diagnosed with a mental illness, their children are followed. The whole family is followed. For what reasons, I don't know. I don't know if this has anything to do with the pharmaceutical industry. I don't know if it's got anything to do with the psychiatric industry. But it appears that they follow at least what has happened to me. They're following my mother's children. And so I've had really inexplicable things happen to me even as a young girl, and I always counted those things like to be bad luck. It affected my self-esteem terribly, terribly. But as I got older and, I just got some strength. I really do believe that God has his hand on me and has always had his hand on me. In any event, I still experienced some stuff. But anyway, as I got older and I started working for this law firm, I noticed that I parked my car one day in a garage. When I came back to my car at the end of the day, my steering column was very loose, as though it were about to come off. Just from the things that have happened to me many years since then, I do believe that someone was tampering with my car and put something in my car. In any event, I got rid of that car, got a brand new car. At this same law firm in Baltimore, Maryland, Piper and Marbury, I had a brand new car. I brought it in, and I came to work early. And so how they packed the cars in the garages, if you got there early, your car had a chance of being blocked in by other cars, which was okay because I usually worked late. I worked a lot of overtime. Well, when I came back to get my car many hours later, my car had raindrops on the top of the hood. So someone took my car out while I was at work and bought it back, and the dummies didn't think to wipe the rain drops off. And then the guard who sat down in the lobby began to harass me on the elevators. He controlled the elevators, and he would like take me to different floors, and I mean it was really crazy. And so still I didn't know anything about targeting, you know. All I know is that these weird things were happening to me, and because I would think, well, because of low self-esteem, I was like, what am I doing to invite this stuff into my life? In any event, I had this recruiter come all the way from D.C. up to Baltimore, and I thought this was kind of unheard of. Now, I'm really good at my job. However, this woman came up to recruit me and took me down to Hogan and Hartson in Washington, D.C. Something happens there where shortly after I began to work there, I had this one attorney who would call me to sit in for her secretary when her secretary was out or was taking a vacation or something like that. Anyway, I did the assignment with that at that secretary's desk for this particular attorney, a female, white female attorney. She was an associate at the time. When I left that assignment and went on to my next assignment, the secretary who came back, whose desk that I was covering, began to, like, ask me questions, you know, as though something were done wrong. Well, Cassandra, what did you do? And this happened and this happened. And I kept telling her, look, I don't know what you're talking about. And she just continued to call me. So I'm trying to concentrate on my new assignment. And this girl kept calling me. And so finally I told her, don't call me anymore. I don't know what you're talking about. I did none of the things that you're saying. You know, just leave me alone. So anyway, a couple of weeks later, she saw me down in the hall, and she told me that what happened, her attorney had done it. Her attorney and another attorney had did what I was supposedly being blamed for. How I knew that I was being blamed is because this girl went on to tell me that she thought she was being cute. She thought she was embarrassing me in front of a lot of people, but she went on to tell me how her attorney was saying, well, call Cassandra's supervisor. Call her. She did this. Call Cassandra's supervisor. But when the secretary came back, they found out that, no, it was the attorneys who made this mistake, something I never knew nothing about. It was a client mistake, and it obviously was enough where it messed up some things. And so the attorney never came and apologized to me. However, I had purposed within myself I wasn't going to go work for her anymore, and sure enough, the next her secretary was out. She called me. My supervisor called me. And I told my supervisor, I was like, no, y'all find her somebody else. She lied on me. I am not working for her anymore. Well, after I said that, these strange things started happening to me on that job. And people began to follow me around. Lights would blink on and off in the hall, like when I would work, because I would work a lot at night. A lot of attorneys would call me to work for them at night, and so these funny things were happening. It was like people were peeping at me from doors where the doors would close all of a sudden. I walked into a darkened office one night to hear what I thought was a commotion going out side on the street. As soon as I opened the door and I walked into this room, this big flash like took my picture. I began to be stalked when I would go out for lunch. I remember one day being in a bookstore. I was looking for a low salt cookbook for my father. This guy, this tall white guy, began to just follow me everywhere, and so I got a little sick of him. And so I walked up to him, and this is a really tall dude. I walked up to him, stood in front of him. Instead of him moving, all he moved was his head. He turned. It was the most eeriest thing I've ever experienced. He stood there in front of me, but simply turned his head where I could only see the side of his face. He would not let me look and would not let me look at him full frontal. He would not let me do that. And so things were happening to me on my job. Somebody was opening up my mail. Even at home, somebody was opening my mail. I would have my work tampered with. All kinds of things were happening to me on this job. They would mess with my lunch. And so they were doing things to me that appeared to me that it was somebody was trying to make me angry. And I think that they were trying to make me angry so that they could fire me. I dug my heels in. I refused. I said to myself, something is going on here. I have done nothing wrong, but I ain't leaving. I am not leaving. Well, they couldn't make me leave, and the group that I was with was headed up by this attorney, where I do believe that he was a stalker because they kept going in and out of his office. All kinds of weird things were happening. One day I was sitting at my desk, and he jumped up and slammed his door shut because he was having some kind of police transmission, and I heard it. Some kind of police, he had it on his speakerphone, and it sounded like he was talking to the police, which was very odd for this type of attorney. Hogan & Hartson is not a civil law firm. It's a corporate, you know, we only handle deals and private equities and things like that. There's no ambulance chasing, none of that kind of stuff. So that phone call that this attorney was engaging in was very, very odd, and he jumped up and he slammed the door. And so anyway, when he left, he took the whole group. They had to take me with them because they had no reason to fire me. And so they took me with them. When they took me to this new law firm, that is where they fired me because my new supervisor did not know my reputation. She did not know how well I did my job. But all kinds of strange things would happen to me there. As I would come to work, driving to work, I would always drive in the left lane of this particular street that I had to drive on only because I had to make a left. When I'm in this driving in this left lane, it appeared to me that I always had cars right in front of me where their blinkers were on. They had the right blinker on their cars, and it was like that every morning. I just felt like I was being followed. I had to use the Washington, D.C.'s metro system. There's a way that they can creep up behind you. Like I would be going up on the escalators. They wear these soft-soled shoes where they can creep up behind you, and you do not know that someone is behind you. I would turn around and would be scared to death. I mean, I've had all kinds of things happen to me in D.C. So when I was fired, and you all, I am really leaving out a lot of the weird things that happened to me. But anyway, they did fire me from that firm. When they fired me from the firm, weirder stuff started happening to me at my home. I was so afraid to come out of my house. I was too afraid to even go down and apply for my own unemployment benefits. That is just how afraid I was to leave my house. In my house, wow. I was hearing all kinds of weird noises outside, and I was hearing things in my house. So this one particular day, I was sitting in my living room at the computer, and it sounded like a bomb had hit the top of my roof, the top of my house. And I jumped up and I ran to the window and put up the blinds, and I looked outside, and it was sunny and pretty and children were playing outside, and I'm like, nothing has happened out there. Surely if a bomb had hit the top of my house, people would be watching. There was nothing like that. And so that is when I got on my computer and I just put in the search term, bomb sound on roof. That's what I put in, bomb sound on roof. I came up with these different hits. The first hit was from this guy named Mark Rich. I wrote to him and I told him about the strange things that were happening to me. And then this hit came up for Eleanor White. I wrote to Eleanor White and I told her all the things that was happening to me. And I put in, and I still have that email. I put in the email, Miss White, I am not crazy. These are the things that are happening to me. She wrote me back. She says, no, Cassandra, you are not crazy. I'm going to tell you who to call. She gave me the contact information to Derek Robinson. Derek has, in essence, Derek, aside from God, Derek has been a lifesaver for me. I began to feel better in the condition that I was in, knowing that there were others who were experiencing the same things that I was. And so in any event, that was in the spring of 2007 when I met Derek Robinson. The stalking, I only experienced stalking and these strange sounds and things like that, but I got in touch with Derek, and then I think shortly after I talked to Derek, I remember started having buzzing sounds in my left ear. And then I started experiencing clicking sounds in my right ear. My understanding is that is how microwave, something called microwave hearing or something like that. I don't know the technical terms, you all, for a lot of the things that have happened to me. I don't ascribe to knowing about drones and the different frequencies and different things like that. All I can tell you about is what is happening to my body and the different experiences that I have had. In any event, after I experienced this clicking and buzzing in my ears, and then I remember in the spring of 2007, I was laying down. I was laying down on my bed. I experienced a feeling like I had been caught in a stiff, vase-like, seizure-like state. It only lasted for a couple of seconds. And then after that, let me go. And that's the only way I can put it. That was followed by trembling and tingling in my feet and in my legs. And then I began to have the distinct feeling on my feet and lower legs of a cold breeze always following me around no matter where I was in my house. That coldness never came above my knees. It always stayed below. I experienced where it felt like my heart had stopped one time. I mean, really, really frightening things. And so this is just I've experienced pains, stings, heating, extreme frigidness, coldness to isolated parts of my body, vibrations and electric light jolts to nearly all areas of my body, both on the inside of my body and topically, like on my skin. I experience extreme and isolated itching, rapid heartbeat, contortions of my toes, burning sensations, involuntary limb and mouth movement, excruciating cramps in my lower and upper legs and buttocks, unusual dreams, stoppage of my involuntary inhalation. I'm telling you, one night I lay down, I thought I was going to die. I've had ringing in my ears where one time it sounded like someone was tuning a radio in my left ear. That thing scared me so bad, like these sounds would go up and down, almost like if you put your hand on a dial and you were turning the radio dial, that is how these sounds were coming in my ear. Again, I've had the clicking in my right ear, the buzzing sound in my left ear. I'm experiencing involuntary and sudden urination and defecation. I've had guttural sounds that occur in my throat, yet I can quote-unquote hear them in my head. I'm having thoughts that are transmitted to me, thoughts that I know are not mine. I can be made to see things. I've seen cars travel backwards. I've had experience where, and I call this an experience set, where I can hear and feel things crashing and falling in another room in my house. Usually it's in my basement. But when I go downstairs to investigate to see what has fallen, everything is fine. So that is something else they can make me do. They can make me have something, this experience set. They can stop me from hearing things. They can put me to sleep. They can wake me up. So many things. I'm going through a list that I have where, and you all, I cannot, I've had a sudden flapping of my lips. My lips would just start flapping almost as though a violent breeze would blow past me from the side to make my lips flap. I've had that. But I did see a documentary on prisons. And my understanding from that documentary is that when these prisoners put these prisoners to death, when they take their last breath, their lips flap. And that is what somebody was doing to me. I get pulsing and buzzing sensations and electricity feelings in the soles of my feet. One night I was laying on my bed. If you looked at me full frontal, one side of my face was just my regular temperature, what it should be. The other side of my head was freezing cold. That thing scared me so bad. So bad.
Wow.
I have had some, but not only that, I've had something happen to me that they did to me called the pit maneuver. That's something that is done where police want to stop a fleeing car. They did that to me. I can describe it to a T, how it's done. I have had two near fatal accidents with police cars. I used to have any experiences, especially when I was in D.C., where every time I would go to the bank, there would always be a fire truck or a police car, usually a fire truck that I thought was very, very odd. But it would always either be on the outside of the bank or the outside of the post office. And I just thought that those things were very, very strange. And so that's just a small synopsis of the things that happens to me. I have given two testimonies. I testified at the 2011, it was the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethic Issues that was held in New York. I traveled to that. I actually gave my testimony. I was the first one. At the time, on that website, they actually...
Hello? I think we have lost her. Listen, I got to bring in my good friend Belinda Brown to clean that up a little bit. Here's what happened. A lot of times, these individuals, when they come on, and a lot of times you may not believe that they're being stalked. You may not believe in the that 5G is dangerous, I'm telling you, and all this kind of stuff. Right now, she's a victim. We probably have to get her back on next week so she can clean some of this up. But right now, I got to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, the one and only. There's not two of her. There's only one in this whole wide world, Belinda Parker Brown. Belinda Parker Brown, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Pastor Pinckney. I'm enjoying the show, just listening to, you know, a lot of the things that you all are talking about right now. And I'm just, I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, that this country, like you said, you know, it's like all of the stuff that's happening in our government right now is people really need to understand that we have to come together and address, you know, these issues on how we're going to protect ourselves from a lot of this corruption and stuff that's been going on and they've been getting away with for decades. So it's like you said, you taught me best. It's only when we don't fight back, okay, when we lose. Okay.
Absolutely.
Like you said, we have to stand up and address these issues, and we have to fight back. So tell me, you know, I'm listening to what's happening there in Benton Harbor, and I'm not surprised, you know, with the mayor Marcus, you know, but you know, listening to this young lady, I think that she's exposing a lot of stuff in the extreme that these people will go to just so that they can continue to get away with the things they do. You know, she might need to, you know, send this, you might need to send a copy of this recording to Marcus, because he can be very well being controlled by these type of, you know, like you say, T.I., he may be the targeted individual that these people got him like a puppet on a string.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things, because I know that this guy got respect from Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I can't believe that he would slap the minister right now. That's what he's doing. He's slapping him right in his face. You know, what he's doing, he's telling him, I'm doing whatever I want to do. You don't tell me what to do. You see, if I want to be a butt kisser, I'd be a butt kisser. If I want to be a sellout, I'll be a sellout. I'll be whatever I want. And to me, that's what he's telling Minister Louis Farrakhan. He said, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, you know, whether you like it or not. And then I'm so shocked that the Muslim Brothers haven't came in and want to know what's going on with this guy. Because I know they know. Because I'm on the radio up in Detroit or all around the country, and I'm talking about this guy. I'm telling them about this guy. I'm telling them this guy is a slime ball, a straight-up slime ball. And you know, on Facebook, I got a couple of guys that said, man, he said, I can't believe it. And I said, yeah, he's just that way. He's just that bad. But people just don't understand how important it is that we stand together. We're at this time now with this Trump guy, and that's Trump with a small T. That's not a capital T. That's a small T, a little bitty T, matter of fact. That's a small T. That's no big T, you know. And he walked around here, and then they got all these other people laughing for him. How do you go home and face your children, and you sitting on TV laughing like that? If you lie, you're
going
to lie on the cover. These folks so bold, they
lie
right to your face.
Right. That's what they're doing, Pastor.
They might be under man control. Here's something, Belinda. They might be under man control. You never know.
Right. Somebody done put something on them, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, I was just listening to her, though, Pastor Pickney. You know, it come a time when you, if she you know, have all the knowledge that she's saying about, you know, what's happening to her, then, you know, it's time for her to come up with, you know, get her ammunition to fight back. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what she's doing by being on your show today. You know, is she exposing what she know for a fact? But if I was her, you know, I would, you know, begin to, you know, get as many people involved and organize as many people to be a witness to what she's talking about. You know, if I was her, I'll start recording myself. You know, I'll start getting other people to record me when these things are transpiring. I'll start moving around to different locations, you know, trying to see if, you know, if I traveled and moved around, you know, what would be the vicinity of when these type of things start happening. You know, she really need to start making some type of, you know, dialogue to fight back with what they're doing to her. You know, because my thing is just don't lay up there and take it. You know, get other people involved to witness, you know, what's going on with you. You know, I would love to come and, you know, else videotape, or else, you know, have cameras and stuff. I'll start posting cameras in and throughout my house, or I'll, you know, try to even pick me another location. I'll sell everything and move somewhere else and see whether or not the same things are happening, transpiring, you know, what she's talking about. Because it sounds like to me it's some type of, like you said, this 5G, you know, it, the range that she's in, and they doing this stuff to her, if it's any type of electronic device that they're using, you know, has it been planted on her? Has it been embedded in her? Is it in her house? Is it, you know, where is it? Is it in her car? You know, that type of stuff. Where is the frequency coming from? You know, I just won't just lay up there and take what they're doing to me.
Did you hear about what happened to the Cubans and how they did, they, you know, with their ear buzzing and all this kind of stuff? It sounded like to me that is what happening to her. The Cubans, I mean, what, it was in Cuba, but it was done to the Americans in Cuba, and it was done by this government here. What they use, they're using this electronic thing. See, this 5G is something that everybody, you need to read up on this 5G. This 5G is a monster, and it has you doing things you never thought you could do, and it's not good. But
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's probably not just her either, Pastor Pickney, but you know, we need to start logging and making, you know, capturing these type of experiences and stuff, because this stuff that she's talking about, it sounds horrific. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like, you know, she can use this stuff that's happening to her right now, and we can put something together and put a documentary or a movie or something together that, you know, with real live footage on, based on a true story, okay? You know, let's put it out there.
Linda, my goal is every week I'm going to have a T.I., one of the T.I. family members on so they can tell their story. Last week, Derek Robinson was on there, and Derek is a true leader. He's the real deal. He has helped so many people. And I remember when I went to California, when we went out to picket the NAACP Image Award, Derek was there. I got the opportunity to meet him. He is quite a guy, and his level of intelligence is beyond reproach. You can't say, well, he's a nut. You can't say this. You can't say Cassandra Lewis is a nut because she's so articulate about what she's saying. But what I want to do is we won't get up. To come on and do. Well, listen, Belinda, I got, if you got something you want to tell me, I can give you 3-4 more minutes, and I got to bring in Pastor Collins, and then I got to bring in my good friend Lee from, did you ever talk to Lee?
Yes, indeed. I sure did. I talked to Lee, and I'm still waiting on to get that information from him, Pastor Pickney. And me and him probably going to be touching bases in the upcoming weeks because, you know, I got some hot and burning things that's happening here in Louisiana. But Lee's situation, it tops everything. And it's people like him that I really appreciate that, you know, he have done his homework. This young man is on, I mean, he is definitely on top of, you know, his game, and what he is embarking up on is to take this thing to another whole level. And I'm so excited about that because I never really seen anybody besides you that fight the way Lee fight, and myself, the way you train me, is that we going to use their own stuff against them.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yes, indeed. So I'll give you some updates. You know, like I said, here in Louisiana, you know, we're getting ready. What we're doing is that we're bombarding their courts. You know, just on this month already, we have filed 2 more lawsuits, you know, along with the other thousands of lawsuits that we have filed. And we're not going to stop bombarding their courts because we already know that the criminal justice system is a disgrace, it's a disaster, and we're going to beat them at their own, you know, at their own game, Pastor Pickney, and that's what we're doing. We're telling everybody now that we know that what they're doing to us is wrong, we're going to use their same tools against them, and we're going to, you know, and they don't like this because you taught me that the only thing they understand is when we hit them in their pockets.
That's right. Amen. Right on. Well, listen, Belinda, I gotta let you go. You know, I always enjoy you, and Love you all the way to the moon and back. And you,
yes, indeed.
I really got an exciting.
You know, I'm looking forward to you coming, you and Dorothy coming down here to Louisiana and spending some time with us, Pastor Pickney, because I'm going to tell you, this thing about to jump off. And I can't wait to share the great news with you, because right now we got, you know, we got the situation in Pastor Victor's case. We got him trapped, and it's no way out for him. And all I can say is that the rabbit got the gun.
Amen. About time. My girl, talk to you soon.
All right.
That was my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown, and a true soldier, a true warrior, a person who know how to fight and know how to win. See, you can know how to fight, but you also got to know how to win, you see. And I think that's where we make our mistakes at. We don't know how to win yet. We got to learn how to win. Let me bring in my good friend from Philly, Pastor Collins. Pastor Collins, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you feeling today?
We are here from Pickney. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And I tell you, I still think about you all the time, and a true soldier, a true warrior. When you think about Martin Luther King, we think about Pastor Collins. That's who we think about here in the city of Benson Harbor.
I appreciate that.
Reverend Martin Luther King, because I know that you have went beyond the call of duty to do some incredible work there in Philly, and I myself personally appreciate your work. You know, and I salute you today. And we don't have a whole lot of time, but why don't you take about 5 minutes and tell us what you want us to know? But then I want you to tell people how they can help you. See, that's the key. People how they can help. Go right ahead.
Sure. Well, what happened is towards the end of October, my wife and I were called into the county police department, and along with one of my other relatives, and we were told that we were wanted for conspiracy charges. We had no idea what was going on. No one had told us anything. We went in with the attorney of my relative, and as a result of that, make a long story short, because we only have a few moments, it became a very big headline story, and actually became a national story. I'm a pastor of a small church. Reverend Pinckney, you've been to our church. We have less than 100 people. So this is not some mega church or some large church. We have three houses. I want your listeners to know that this small church bought three houses on one block, and we've been housing returning citizens, displaced veterans, people in transition for 20 years without any help from the county, the state, or the federal government. So we have literally dozens of people that we have been able to give a stable beginning and help them get on track with their life. We had a feeding program, feeding over almost 200 people a week. I had various activities. I have a prison to praise ministry, going to prisons all across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I filed a discrimination suit against the local school district here because they denied the tax exempt status for our properties. We lost about $250,000 over 10 years in taxes that we had to pay. So I've been known, my footprint is very large in Delaware County, which is about 15 minutes outside of Philadelphia. So I'm a known quantity of non-traditional activist pastor, not with a mega church, but with mega courage. And this whole thing came about, as I said, about 2 weeks. We had an election out here the first week in November, and we're believing that this was politically motivated as well as from this the current district attorney, who was up for not for re-election because she had got appointed, but she was up for election. And, you know, as usual, they always have a lot of high-profile arrests right before the election, and the arrest of my wife and I believe, was one of those arrests. So what we're doing now is we have very good attorneys. The most beautiful thing, Brent Pinckney, and for you listeners, is that she lost. The woman who filed these charges against us lost the race as a new district attorney, someone who's very positive, who pledged to evaluate cases, who pledged prison reform at the local level, and also pledged to not log the system down with a bunch of unmerited cases. So we feel we have a very good opportunity to reach out to this new district attorney, have him review our case, have these charges withdrawn, that my wife and I can continue to do what we've done without any, without this cloud hanging over us. Now, the beautiful thing about it is the media didn't make us, so the media can't break us. You know, we're just like
Amen.
You. We're grassroots. You know, we go to the courts every day. We go to the prisons every day. We go speak truth to power every day. So now what we need, Reverend Pinkney, is we are raising funds, even though we're believing for divine intervention. As you said, we have to know how to fight and you have to know how to win. So we have set up several ways that people can help us. We have a Cash App fund for people who have that app on their phone. And the Cash App is $, which is in front of all the Cash Apps, Legal Fund, LEGALFUND 1, the number 1. $ Legal Fund 1. They can make a donation to Cash App. We don't have a GoFundMe set up, but they can go on our church website, which is just churchoftheovercomer.net or .com. If you just type in Church Overcomer, it'll come up. Go on the website. There's a link on the website. And then when you make a donation in the memo, you can just say legal fund, and that'll go into our legal fund for my wife and I. You can email me. You can email us at response, R-E-S-P-O-N-S-E, the number 2, and then injustice, I-N-J-U-S-T-I-C-E, response to injustice at gmail.com to get more information. You can, I'm going to give you a number as well for you to call. We have a call-in number, Reverend Pinkney, which I'm going to give you in 1 second. But you can call us, and you'll be able to leave a message, and you'll be able to reach us directly that way as well. As you call the number to the response to injustice. We are looking to have I want to thank you for when you how you responded to our call for the rally. We're still getting a lot of results. Sister Pam Africa is working with us. I want to let everybody know Sister Pam has really been one of our biggest supporters. And it's amazing because it hasn't been the traditional church folk, because they don't necessarily do the kind of work that Reverend Pinkney, you know, that we do. They're more into the traditions and the banquets and the you know, the worship services. And I always tell people activism isn't part of worship. It's a part of service. So the number to reach us directly is 610-990-1162. 610-990-1162. You can call that number or you can text that number and leave a message. We'll get right back to you if you want more direct information. But as I said, if you want to make a donation to help our legal fund, we do have an account set up. It's Cash App, $ Legal Fund, the number 1. If you want to mail in a donation, if you want to do old school, you can just make it out to Community Legal Defense Fund on the envelope, the address, 1010 Sunset Street, S-U-N-S-E-T. Sunset, just like the sun and sunset. 1010 Sunset Street, Trainer, T-R-A-I-N-E-R, Pennsylvania, 19061. Again, we're in good spirits, Reverend Pinkney. We believe I have you and I have about a core group of community leaders that are going to sign this petition. We're going to present it to the new district attorney to have the case reviewed, to have these charges reviewed and withdrawn, and to move forward so that we can have our names exonerated. And we have complete confidence that that's going to happen. We don't know how fast it's going to happen, but that's what we are believing for. We had a very high spirit of time today in worship. And I want to say that, you know, you never know when, you know, what you've done, what it's going to result in. As of course, you know, based on what happened to you. But my spirit are high. My wife's spirits are high. I want to say to everyone out there, you know, this is don't stop the journey. Don't stop the fight. We know that the enemy only attacks those that attack him. So we know that we have wounded the enemy. We know we have stood for what is right. We know we have transformed lives. We've given people food, clothing, and shelter, which is something, unfortunately, that many of our ministries don't do anymore. We have visited the sick. We've gone to the prisons. We have done those things that Christ has commanded us to do. And we've spoken truth to power. And we're continuing to do that. You know, some people have called Reverend Pinckney just to see if the church was open. The church is still open.
As people have said,
you know, if we did 10% of what these people said we did, we would have went somewhere and be in hiding and would never come out. Even people in this, and you know, when a little small town, there's 1,800 people, everybody in this town knows us. As I said, when we were arrested, the media trucks came out here and stayed for hours trying to find somebody to say something bad about us. They couldn't find one person to say anything bad. And even though this is not the greatest place where we are in terms of racial harmony, but they couldn't deny the work that my wife and I have done. They couldn't deny the help that we've been. And we're continuing to help people. We're continuing to serve people. We're continuing to go out every day and seek for ways to be a blessing to those people that are in need while we're continuing to fight to exonerate our name. And we appreciate the help of all your listeners. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much. And listen, send me that email with all the places that we can send donations to. And I'm gonna send it out to people. Do it in an email so that way I can send it to my email.
Okay, gotcha.
All right.
All right,
you have a great day. Tell your
I will take care of that tonight.
Hey. All right,
yes.
Now. Talk to you soon.
That's all right, Rev. Thank you so much.
Chicago.
All right, now.
You got
all right,
it.
Thank you.
Now, I got to bring in my good friend Lee. Lee, are you there? I know we don't have much time, but I need to know where you at and what you're doing, when your court date, and how things going.
Okay.
Hit right my forehead, my brother.
Okay, well, they didn't give me a court date as of yet, but the city is being shook up because now they finally got a corruption hotline going on talking about how the police is being given fake warrants, robbing one drug dealer, placing drugs on another drug dealer, and turning people. Yeah, so the city is getting shook up, but I need to shake it up a little more. I ain't done.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
Some guy had planted drugs on so many people, according to them, they had took the drug from one dealer and planted on another dealer.
That exactly.
Yes.
Even making up saying that they done purchased drugs from people that they didn't even purchase no drugs from, and to get a warrant against them just to go raid their house. And I was like, wow,
yeah.
this sound like my case. I said, because I never stole nobody no drugs. And the crazy thing is,
Go ahead. Now you go.
I sent you another flash drive.
I didn't get it.
And then this flash. Yeah, I sent another one because this one is going to detail and show. I've even put pictures of my discovery in there, and you're going to see where they keep saying, "Oh, he was doing all these transactions." You're going to see the receipt from my truck being in the shop. I'm like, "Well, who was driving this truck then? If I was doing all these transactions, I mean, my truck was in the shop for 2.5 weeks. So how was I doing this? Then the day of the control buy." My truck was in the shop then. That's when I first found out he had problems. So I'm like, come on, man. You guys are just tripping now. It's like, y'all really just, you know, when you tell one lie, you got to keep on. You got to keep trying to come up with another lie. So I don't mean, got all the receipts, got all the other witness statements and everything that's willing to come to court and testify. They come out. I was over here and they like, no, you was not at my house. I said, well, I know I wasn't at your house. But this is what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about it is, so the crazy thing about that is the Michigan State Police saying that I was over there, and my brother's wife was like, no, and if the feds was watching my house like they said, they know you was never came to my house. So they know that that's a straight up lie.
Yeah.
Because your brother was on a GPS tether. But in my paperwork, they're going to say I went to his house and sold that man some drugs. I say, man, y'all just keep messing up.
Are they saying you sold your brother some drugs or somebody else?
Yes. No, they said I went to my brother's house, sold him some drugs, and they said at the conclusion of their investigation, I'm supplying my brother with drugs. I say, well, how is that possible when he was federally court ordered not to be at this house? One, He got a federal GPS tether on his leg, so if he go back to that house, he violates his bond. Clearly, he never violated his bond, and the judge gave him 30 minutes when he got released, and this was in April, to get what he was going to get and never to return back at the house. His wife had to take the remainder of the clothes. You're going to hear the conversation between me and her and everything on this new flyers dryer.
Okay.
And she was like,
okay.
And I told her, and me and her was talking, I said, listen, I'm letting you know the conversation, you know, I am recording it, because I'm going to need you to come to court. This is what they're saying, and I know for a fact. She was like, I got my emails and everything. She was like, I wasn't even here. So who was you here to see? I say, I was never there. I know I wasn't there. You know I wasn't there, but this is what they added in the paperwork. I say, but I got all the receipts, so I'm, you know, you. It ain't no receipt that I don't win, because it shows the complete work history of this vehicle I had.
Wow.
And everywhere they were saying
amazing.
That I was at in this vehicle, it was in the shop. I didn't get the truck out until June 1st of 2018.
Wow. Wow. Amazing.
And even
the
hey. Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Listen, what I want to tell you. You got to stay focused
yes.
be aware
yes.
of your surroundings. Because you know what they have to do, because Detroit got a whole history of doing all this kind of stuff. When I told the story about the ninth floor, how they would give you a murder
mm-hmm.
case if you didn't, and then they would always convict you on this murder case. For one thing about white folks, if you get you 12 white folks in on a jury, you got about a 99.9% chance of being convicted. Because they always do whatever happens, black folks do it. Because, like, even when I went to trial, there was absolutely no evidence. None. I mean, they couldn't even falsify evidence. Then, at the bottom line, there was no such charge. Yet, they found me guilty.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Now, think about that for a second. There was no such charge. There was no evidence. There was nothing. And these 12 white folks found me guilty of forgery. Didn't bring no handwriting expert. Didn't do nothing but found me guilty, knowing that there was no evidence. But I thank the Supreme Court, because I know how to fight. And when I know how to fight and win, because I know these flying balls. You see, they
all
right. a bunch of flying balls, and then they got us. They got black folks working with them to destroy you and your family. That's how they operate.
Man, that's these new age Sambos. They work. It's more out here right now than it is during slavery.
Yeah. And the thing now, they can get away with it now. See, right now, it's okay to lie. It's okay. You see it on TV. These guys got family, got children, and going to sit on TV and outright lie. Look, here's what I would have told. If I'm going to stand behind Trump with a small T, and I mean a small T, I don't mean a big T, no capital T, you don't get nothing capitalized. Here he is, they knowing that they lie, that this man did something wrong. I don't care what it is. They can easily say, well, we know he did something wrong. Some of them can say that. But I'm not going to sit up here and lie for him. I'm just going to, tell you what I think. These guys just outright lying. And then the news media helping him. Well, he said that. He's just telling like it is. You lying on TV. Stop it. Tell these slime balls that they lying on TV. But they get news coverage by saying that he said that it didn't happen. And rather than just tell the guy, what kind of newscaster? It was me or you, they'll call me and you a lie. But they won't call these slam balls a lie. They lying on TV, mister. They lying on TV. They lying in front of their children. They lying in front of their wives. They lying in front of their mothers and fathers. And reason is okay. I was in court. Look, my wife almost got on the jury duty. Almost. I said almost. It was just that close. See, they don't like to put black folks on jury, period. But they knew that she probably would tell the truth. See, that's what they don't like. They want somebody who slides like they will take a thing. But they know that we're going to tell the truth. I don't care what it is, whether it helps me or hurt me. I'm telling the truth. And they can live with it And if I can live with it, I know you can. But we got to make sure we're doing what we're doing, Lee. We are dropping the ball. These people are killing. And you folks out there who don't believe that people are being targeted by this government, wake up. Wake up.
Yeah, because they got a thing out here called gang stalking, and they use it.
Yeah, and they would do anything. These people would do, I'm telling you not what I think, I'm telling you what I know. These people would do anything. They don't care nothing about you. You are expendable, whether you like it or not. We got to change the way we do business, and I'm going to continue talking about my TI family. And next week, I'm going to have a special guest on who's going to tell us a little bit about the law. Maybe I'm going to have a one member of the TI on. But, Lee, I want you to come on next week, but I can't give you a lot of time. But next, the following week, I'm going to give you as much time as you want. And we're going to make this happen because I want to spread the word because these people are lighting up. In this chat room, it's like never before. I've never seen nothing like this before. I haven't even had time to answer some of these folks. And they want to know about you. They want to know about Pastor Collins. They want to know about Belinda Parker Brown. They want to know about Miss Cassandra Lewis. And I tell you, it's going to take me all day to answer these folks back. And I'm going to figure out one day next week I'm going to have to do it because I always answer when you hit me up in the chat room. And you can hit me up in the chat room. If you have something to say, say it. Spit it out. And here's the good news. You can say whatever you want. It will not offend me, okay? I want people to know that. It don't offend me. Say something. Let's talk. Let's make this happen. Lee, my good friend, look, I'm pulling for you 100%, and I love you, and I want you to know that we're going to make this thing happen. And in the meantime, I hate to tell you this, we have just ran out of time. Same time next week, same station. We'll be here, and we're going to make things happen. The goal is to make things happen. If we can make things happen, we got them. And how Belinda Brown said, the rabbit got the gun. When the rabbit got the gun, it's a whole different story. So listen, talk to y'all soon. God bless y'all. God keep y'all. We will talk very soon. Let's talk. God bless you.